All right, welcome back to it, and thank you once again to our Patreon members. Bill Grease, Henry Backer, Jimmy Fada, Tony Zane, our Mug members, G-Money, Marcus Von B. We also have our Turkey Skin Luggage members, Mark D., Matthew from Blackburn Hamlet, Burnsy 79, Kevin Waghorn, Martin Peddle, Mike Ennis, Randy Spence, Retro Mags, Brian. Thank you to all of you, and thanks to our great sponsors, Jim K. Ford, and the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team.
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the SWP, going off religiously now on Mondays. Mondays, April 1st. And certainly, I'm sure that a few April Fool's pranks were around as we were recording this. Maybe Steve Warren along with Jim Jerome. I'm in Ottawa. Jimmy's out in Edmonton. I hate April Fool's, Jimmy.
Oh, well, I don't. By the way, Stevie, I've got a new name for Easter. It's the boss of the cross. No? Okay.
Okay, so would it be boss of the cross too? Because Christmas could be that too.
Christmas could be that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Happy Easter anyway.
Yeah.
Happy Easter to you as well. You said you did something with the kids?
I did something with the kids. I told them not to come over.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they're like, are we getting together, Dad? I kind of got busted for my sort of crustiness, Stevie, yesterday. So I took a friend of mine and her mother. She was taking her to a show downtown, and her mom's aged into her 90s. And I said, look, why don't I pick you up, you know, like 10 blocks from the theater? You can park your car there at a grocery store, and I'll just drop you off right at the front, right? Then you could just walk in with your mom, right? No parking. It's like fantastic, right? Fantastic idea, and I'll pick you up right after, right outside the door. So I did, and then I was driving them back to their car, and they said, well, we'd love for you to join us for dinner.
Oh, nice.
And I said, no thanks. And they're waiting for some sort of, I can't. I've got two astronauts need me to speak to them about the next lunar landing.
Right, the excuse.
Yeah, but no, Stevie, I've gone to the no excuse thing anymore.
I love that. I love that for you. I love that for you right now.
Yeah, I just said, no thanks. And she's looking at me going, tied up or? No. Thanks anyway, though.
Yeah. I don't want to.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Honestly, yeah. We're too old to be given fake excuses now anyway, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just, as I get older, for sure, Steve, I like socializing less.
Right.
And I'm not sure I like it, but it's just the way it is. Yeah.
I like people, but I don't like them much once they get beyond 30. Once I got about 30 people around me, I start to get a little bit skittish.
Yeah.
Like, I might like to be not here.
You know what my ex-wife did, Steve?
What's that?
Because she's kind of like that, too. Little crusty. Doesn't want to, you know, a little salty, Stevie. A little spicy. Okay? A little spicy. Not real big on... She's a doctor, right? Sees a lot of people all day long.
Right.
Right? So she wants to live, eventually, Steve, off the grid. And I said, well, how off the grid? Well, like this right here. She bought a ranch in the interior of BC.
Mm-hmm.
Like this 40 acres. I said, well, there's nothing there. No, there's my farm. So she's gonna live off the land, Steve. And she's gonna raise goats and pigs and chickens.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Like maybe you can make goat cheese and stuff like that. I don't know.
But I don't blame her.
Now I don't have to deal with anyone. It's all self. I got a creek and water and a well, and you know, I got a bunker and stuff. I don't know what the whole deal is, but interesting, you know.
Well, I think it comes from the job she has. Honestly, I was at the Civic Hospital not 2 hours ago.
Yeah,
my daughter's just been.
Oh, no.
She's been just had a stomach thing that's been going on a little too long, so we're getting a little concerned about it. So we brought her in. Into emergency because the throwing up is continuing. But
yeah,
so my mom's my wife's there with her now. but we're not too concerned about it. But we go into emergency, and it's just people on people.
Bet that was a quick turnaround.
Piled. What do you mean, quick turnaround?
You must have been there for hours, weren't you?
Well, we didn't stay. My wife is there with her now. She decided that I'm not that sick. I'm not going in there, because we got in there and it was just so many people. Like, just there must have been 200 people crammed in the waiting room. The people we talked to were grumpy, and out we went. And I don't blame anybody who's in the medical profession dealing with all that every single day. We dealt with it for about, I don't know, 3 minutes, and we'd had enough. So your wife is probably earned herself a little peace and quiet after, what, 40 years in the medical industry?
Right. Yeah. Here's the other thing, Stevie, is there's a massive shortage of doctors. Okay. I was talking to my doctor yesterday. And this is what I'm thinking, Steve. Like, he made this good point. I'm doing his life story. And he made this point saying, you know, you learn, and he wasn't really exaggerating too much, because I understood it. He said, you know, medical school doesn't really teach you anything for the real deal of being a doctor. Okay. It just what teaches you the real deal, Steve, is the, you know, is working alongside another doctor, getting into your residency and doing all sorts of different fields of medicine, right? Mm-hmm. That's where you learn, you know? It's probably like when you went to Algonquin, Steve, taking nothing away from that program. It probably doesn't set you up for the reality of flipping a microphone on and delivering stories, right? You know what I'm saying?
80% of it was not stuff I use.
Right, right, right. So here's what they got to do, Steve, okay? The other thing is, it's really hard to get into med school. Mm-hmm. Like, you need these wicked marks, and it's a grind, and it's, you know, they put you through the ringer, right? And I'm saying, well, given that med school doesn't really teach you that much, let's lower, and you're short of doctors like mad, let's lower the standard, Steve. Right? They're not gonna learn that much anyway.
Right.
Now, I don't want a doctor who got 28% on his finals.
Right.
You know, sticking a camera up my you know where, right? Because you're like, I don't know about this, you know? I didn't pass this. So, okay, I don't want that guy, Stevie, but maybe guys who got 70%. Whip them in there. Let them have at her, you know?
Don't you feel like we live in the best time to be a fake doctor?
Like, yes.
I mean, I feel like you and I could be fake doctors. And because we're personable enough, we could have that conversation. So tell me what seems to be the problem today, Mr. Jerome, I would say. And then you'd tell me, I'd like give it a little rub and push on it a little bit. And they say, okay, I think I might have something for that. Then I go into the next room, and I go online and I say, what medication do you need for these symptoms? And as with the deck I built in my front yard, I don't know anything about carpentry, but YouTube, right, do-it-yourself stuff, I was able to do it. And I'm not taking anything away from the work that doctors and the expertise they have and how smart they are. I'm not taking anything away from them, but I do think it's the greatest time to be alive if you're a completely fake doctor.
Well, here's the other. It's so funny you bring that up, because this is the rest of the story. Okay, so my doc is telling me yesterday that AI, okay, AI, whatever it's called,
artificial intelligence.
There may be a day, Steve, where you don't even need to see your doctor. He's telling me,
right.
So this is what happens now, Steve. Okay, with AI, this is going on right now. You go in to see your doctor, okay? The nurse takes you into the little room, okay? You sit there, wait a few minutes. The doc comes in, okay? And he says, what brings you in here today, right? And I go, you know, I've got these massive warts, you know, okay? All over here, you know, down in my junk or somewhere.
Oh, no.
Okay? And they're bothering me, right? And he goes, okay, warts on the junk. All right, let's see. Let me have a look. Okay, warts on the junk. Now, Steve, artificial intelligence, Steve, is listening to all of this. Okay? Right. He runs a recorder, and they, not only are they listening to all of it, Steve, is they're spitting out solutions. Okay? That they're saying, here's what it is, warts on the junk. Okay, this is what you got to give the guy.
Right.
So there may be a day, Steve, where you just go in and explain it the best way you can about what your ailment is, and they may be able to come up with something.
I think you should go through the entire medical handbook and rename some of these awful disorders, because I actually like warts on the junk better than what it's actually called, and that's genital warts. Right? So if you go in there and
junk warts.
And also warts on the junk, one of my favorite punk bands.
Yeah. The other thing, Steve, it sounds like one of these microbreweries could be the title of one of the beers. Wart junk.
No, I won't drink
junk
that.
Warts.
No.
Junk wart. Give me a pint. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, he was bringing that up. Like this AI is going crazy, of course. Everyone's freaking out about it. That'll be the case, you know? I don't know if you could, you know, what if the AI makes a mistake, you know?
Right.
Like you, oh, I see. You're fine. You know, you'll be fine. Go home and get some rest and clean your room.
Right.
No, I got lung cancer here. What? The guy missed that?
Yeah. And the thing about AI, and I think I talked about this in the last episode, is that people don't believe anything anymore because of AI. You know, right. You see these videos that are, you know, I'll go back to that Kate Middleton thing where she's got this video going on, and I keep seeing people online say, oh, here's more proof that it's AI and it was totally faked. You know, right. The close up of her eye and her eyelid is shimmying in a weird way, almost like her eyelash is about to fall off. You know, AI is far, far from perfect is my point, though. You know, you go on to ChatGPT and say, draw me a photo of Jim Jerome, and it might have something that looks like a Picasso or something of you. It looks nothing like you, though, and you know, it's still got, speaking of warts, it's got a lot of those still.
Her video was real, though, right? That's your point. Everyone thought it was AI, but it was a real video.
It looked like
Kate Middleton, right?
Yeah, it looked like a real video, but there's enough discussion about it online that makes me wonder. I don't even believe, you know, what was supposed to be the video to clear everything up about what her whereabouts have been. She's dealing with obviously a medical issue. I believe she has cancer and right. Fighting that. But everybody is now second guessing that video, which was supposed to put all the dialogue to rest, but it surely right. Has not. Let's jump into sports though, my friend.
Okay.
And this was something we've been worrying about for a while, because once they legalized sports gambling, or sorry, gambling in the middle of sportscasts and advertising and all that, and how it's really part of the programming. It's not just, we'll be right back with more NHL hockey, and then we go off to the commercial. It's now part of the programming. You know, it's like, so what do you think about the game tonight, Jimmy? And of course, this is brought to you by Bet on Sports or whatever. And then
junk warts.
Yeah, junk warts, exactly.
Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Your Connor McDavid is in the news. The race for the Art Ross Trophy is heating up. So right now you have three guys that are just absolutely throwing haymakers at each other. Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, Nikita Kucherov. They're yes. At 127. Then you got McDavid is at 120. MacKinnon holds the lead at 127. Then you have Kucherov at 126 and McDavid at 125. And, I used to grow up watching the scoring race and stuff, but
yeah,
too often it was, you know, just Gretzky or Lemieux running away with things. This is like a scoring race like we haven't seen, I think, that it's this close and it's three different guys. It's totally up for grabs. And I think that's an exciting side angle for fans. And it all comes down to the final game potentially, because Colorado plays Edmonton on the very last game of the regular season.
Super cool. The other thing is, as I look, Stevie, being the Oilers fan, looks to me like Colorado's played 74 games and Oilers two in hand, my friend. They've only played 72.
Well, that bodes well. There was a point like not that long ago where McDavid is something like 20-something points. behind McKinnon, and it was just like he floored it. Just go. Oh, yeah, that's far enough. Let's go. And
you know, he's getting 3 points a game, like the last 4 or 5 games. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But it's way up there. It's way up there.
Well, like, that's great.
Like two points a game, Stevie. Okay. 2 points a game is you're getting 164 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I got a lot of Leaf fans.
How does that make Wayne's record look at 219 or 211 or whatever it was?
Well, it's an interesting discussion too, because it's so hard to score now compared to Wayne Gretzky's era. And I know you are the ultimate Gretzky bootlick, so I'm loath to talk in these terms, but I mean, Gretzky's numbers are coming way down if he's playing in 2024. I still think he's going to be. I think he's still probably going to be the best guy, but I mean, I watch Connor McDavid skate. I watch Nathan MacKinnon skate and the things they can do with the puck, and doing it at a time when everybody's skating a million miles an hour. Like there's no like resting on the ice. Guys are taking 45 second shifts, so they're always well rested when they're on the ice. They work on the sublime team systems that are designed to shove you out to the side. So much more than it was in Gretzky's era. I wonder where Gretzky would rank with what's going on right now.
So you say he would score far less points today.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, and I couldn't disagree more. There's no doubt in my mind he would get more points. And I'll tell you why.
More points than he got in the 80s?
Yeah. Yeah, he would. Yes, he would. I'll tell you why. So everyone goes, well, the pads are smaller, so now they're scoring more goals, okay? Right? Or they did. The pads were way smaller. Right?
Back then.
That's fuck all. That doesn't matter, okay? Stevie, back in that day, when Mario and Gretz and those guys and Brett Hall and all these guys were scoring, they had clutching and grabbing, Steve, was allowed all game long. You could hook your stick around in front of the guy's waist. You could hold his jersey. You could cross-check the shit out of him in front of the net. That penalty was never called, Steve. Mm-hmm. And I remember Wayne saying, now, Stevie, if your blade happens to brush up against the guy's pant leg, it's a penalty. Well, Wayne is going, let me at it. You know, so now I can skate down uninhibited. Otherwise, I'm going to get a penalty. Well, guess who's on the power play, Steve, if they're calling that penalty all the time?
Right.
And if he got... Like he says, there's no doubt. I would get, you know, Russ always said too, the guys who got a million goals would get a million goals in any league, anywhere, at any time. You know, the game hasn't changed that much. Everyone thinks it's changed a ton, but.
Yeah, I mean, Gretzky might come out with the equipment they have today, like the skates. You know, yes, Connor McDavid skates a million miles an hour, but would he skate that well in the boot that existed and the technology of skates that existed in 1985, I would say the answer is probably new.
If he was using what blades? Like the ones from the Tackleberries, you mean? Did he?
I'm saying that if Gretzky had today's skate technology, he would be a lot closer to a Connor McDavid's speed than he would if he sort of arrived in 2024 wearing his early 1980s.
Yeah, so he'd get more points.
Well, I don't know points. I don't think I'd go that far. I think he would definitely come back. He might still lead the league in points, but are you saying that he'd get more than 92 goals and more than 215 points?
He wouldn't get less, man.
I do.
He wouldn't get less. First of all, they got rid of the red line. That's one boding for more points.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest one, again, I emphasize, my friend, the clutching and grabbing is not allowed anymore in hockey. Not allowed. He's saying, give me that open ice. Give me that where the guy can't grab me. I'm telling you what, I'm going to get way more chances, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not denying that there are some things about today's NHL that Gretzky would benefit from, or anybody, Mario, or anybody who is elite in that era. They would benefit if they rolled in, like you say, that's a big one for sure. Hooking and holding is way down, but there's also like a lot of disadvantages to the Gretzky crowd. And then one being, again, the team tactics are unbelievable now compared to the way they were in the 80s. Yes, there was kind of a loose version of the trap back then, but I defy anybody to go back and watch a full game from the early 80s and tell me that the speed is the same, the fitness is the same, the team tactics with all of, you know, with these unreal organized forechecks, neutral zone coverage, D zone coverage. There's just so much less room to operate out there. I just don't see him coming in and putting up the kinds of numbers that he was able to back in the early 80s. I still think he'll probably lead the league in scoring, but I don't think to be that big. What does Connor McDavid need to do, you know, to put up the kind of Gretzky numbers? I think it's impossible for anybody, Gretzky, McDavid, whoever you want to throw in there, to go after 92 goals.
Stand down a sec, Steve. Just one sec. Because it's funny, I looked this up the other day.
Looked what up?
As a compilation of the 96 different players have scored 50 goals in an NHL season, one or more times in their career. Who has scored the?
There have only been 96 50 goal scorers in the NHL's history?
As of completion of the 2022, 96 different players have scored 50 goals. So you need the list. You need the list. Okay. How many Leafs? Fuck off. Because, players with 50 goal seasons. Okay.
I've got the list right in front of me.
Right. So if you look back at those times, like in the, what you're talking about, where they scored more goals, you had your Marios, you had your Waynes, Mike Bossy, you know, in the 70s there scored a million. Richard, Alex Ovechkin scored a bunch of times. Jari Kurri, Timo Solani, Cam Neely, Jerome Iginla, a bunch of those guys from way back then, you know. So they're scoring those guys had multiple seasons of 50 goals. Jaromir Jagr, Malkin, maybe once or twice. I don't know, but it seems guys were scoring 50 goals more often back then.
Yeah, I think that's true, which is why I don't think
right. So it was during a clutch and grab season, you know.
Right, and so yeah, with clutch and grab, but again, there are some disadvantages to today's game. I just have a hard time believing that anyone can impress me more than Connor McDavid does with the various things he can do offensively.
Right.
They're just so fast. I've never seen a player that fast, and even more so that fast while carrying the puck. There's a lot of guys, you know, and most guys, you know, they can skate fast if they're like racing, you know, end to end for a puck that might be going for an icing or something, or there's a breakaway chance or something. They go fast to get the puck, but having the puck and skating that fast, there doesn't seem to be any drop off for McDavid. His puck handling skills impress me like nobody ever has.
Right.
I just have a hard time believing that. If he can't flirt with 92 goals, I don't think anybody can.
If what would be interesting, you're right though. If you took a snapshot of a goalie standing in the crease from back then, okay, of typical goalies, and if you took a snapshot now of a goaltender just standing there. Okay, in the middle of the net. Okay, and like sort of like a pose. Steve got the blocker and the trap. You know, he's holding his stick with the blocker, and he's got the trapper up. You're probably looking at. You see, if that guy doesn't move, there's only about 18% of the net is open. Okay, if Andy Moog, look at that picture. Okay, 51% of the net.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. Like small equipment, goaltenders were small, right?
Well, and it's not just the size of the person, the size of the equipment.
Yeah.
That's obvious. Just look at a Jacques Plante playing for the Montreal Canadiens and right. How tiny he was compared to what they have today. But let's talk about technique. You know, the butterfly takes away so much more of the bottom half of the net as opposed to the guys who are being told all the time, stand up.
Right.
Don't go down so early. You don't be on your knees. Be a stand-up goalie. Well, you're leaving the bottom of the ice open. And then there's the other angle of where your trapper is. If you look at Ken Dryden's rookie card, you know, here's one of the tallest goalies of his era, and he was tremendous in everything, but he had both of his gloves down around the sides of his knees, right? Now they teach you to just hold it up like you're a first baseman up in the air.
Looks like a movie screen.
It does, but it's Trapper. But you know the game now is about shot blocking, basically. Just, you know, be in the right spot, take away as much of the net as you can. And you really don't see that many kind of, you know, Rogi Vachon or even later, Dominik Hasek saves. You're just seeing the goalie make a bunch of stops by being in the right place at the right time.
Right. So what does that all mean? I've lost track whether they'd score more now or later.
Well, I haven't changed my opinion, but maybe you have. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, interesting.
Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Looking to buy or sell your home? Then check out the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team. Back in the old show, we called him Real Estate Glenn, among other things. Glenn helped me sell a home a couple of years ago and did so much for us, including staging. He provided a great painter, a cleaner, even brought new ceiling lights for us, all to make sure the home is looking its best on picture day, and it's all part of his services. He can do the same for you at glennwalton.com. On the golf front, we love some golf, and the Masters is a brewing. What did you think of the end of the Texas Children's Golf Tournament on the PGA Tour? Scottie Scheffler basically just needs a 5-foot putt. He basically, it's for a birdie, unbelievable clutch approach shot, knocks it to within 5 feet, and then Jaeger is his name. He needs a long putt to win outright. And doesn't make it, but he taps in for a par. And now Scheffler can force a playoff with a 5-footer. And I think just because he's won the last two PGA events, people are thinking, oh, this guy's on such a run. He is so nails. And he does not make it. What did you think?
Well, if Jaeger makes the bomb, Steve, it's a Jaeger bomb. Okay, it's a Jaeger bomb. Well, what I saw today was, I didn't quite catch it all. I was busy yesterday.
Okay.
Telling people no, I didn't want to go for dinner. they were talking like, oh my God, he missed a 5-footer. You know, I might have been misinterpreting it. It's like people miss 5-footers all day, man. You know, right. But if the story is this is a big 5-footer because he's going to go, you know, but it didn't secure the win. He'd have to go into a playoff. What it is telling me, though, it's an incredible run. Okay. Speaking of talent, Steve, how much tougher it is to win now than in the Jack Nicklaus days. This guy was about on the verge of winning three in a row, which is Tiger-esque stuff, you know, Tiger-esque stuff to do that. And God, he doesn't look like much out there. Like, it looks like he's going to fall over when he takes a swipe at it. It's
sometimes, yeah.
His feet moving, all that shit. So my thing in the Masters, Stevie, I don't know if I was telling you, I think there may be a Canadian in the hunt. I'm a big fan of Canadians on tour. Four or five of them made the cut, Stevie. A couple of guys made the top 20 again. So that's what I'm hoping for. But this guy is, like, he's been number one or right around there for 4,000 freaking tournaments now.
You know? Yeah.
He's, and I love his attitude. I really do. I really do.
No, he seems to almost have like a, you know, if he had a, this intangible sort of a musical theme, it would be kind of like,
yeah.
Right. Just to see, he's not really, he doesn't seem remotely phased. The guy's still in his mid 20s and he doesn't seem remotely phased by the stage that he's young? On.
Holy Jesus.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But yeah. I wonder, I mean, you know, we're seeing these, you know, I'm looking at the leaderboard at the Texas Children's Houston Open, like how tight everything is, but it's names that are like, wow. It's not, I mean, for the rank and file golf fan, you know, have you heard of like the guy who finished second tied with Scottie Scheffler, Alejandro Tosti?
No, right.
He finished one off the pace. Another guy finished one off the pace, Thomas Dietrich, then Taylor Moore. All these guys are at minus 11. Tony Finau, we of course know. I'm thinking about David Skins. He finished 2 strokes off the pace and tied for 7th. So the point is, and he was tied with Max Grazerman. There's so many unbelievable talents out there. But have we reached a stage as Tiger is now very much inches away from his sunset in the sport?
Right.
Are we going to replace the charisma of a Tiger Woods? Is there somebody out there? Is it Rory? Is it somebody else?
Brooks Koepka, who we hate, Steve.
Right.
Rory has not won the Masters.
Okay. What? No, he did, didn't he?
No. No.
I thought he did.
No, Rory has not won the Masters. No.
Wow. I'll go with you on that.
I think, and Brooks Koepka said, the only way Rory is going to end up at the champions dinner of the Masters is if he's a waiter.
Wow. Wow.
Brooks, way to go. Way to go, zing. Brooks. Yeah.
You know what the biggest zing I saw this week? I don't know if you're familiar. It's like, there's a guy who works for Daily Faceoff. I believe his name's Colby Cohen. And he's just got a standard hockey take. It's one of those videos you've seen a million times. Here's my hot hockey take from the podcast. And then some guy rolls in with an anti-Semitic crack.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And then Frank Saravelli, who's this guy's colleague, he came back with the most fiery response to this anti-Semitic tweet that I've ever seen. He basically said something on the line of, you're a POS. You're a complete POS. Why don't you pour yourself a nice glass of bleach and do the world a favor? Have you ever seen something like that from a major media guy?
Wow. Well, I thought, you know what I thought you were talking about is Hyman for Edmonton now has 52 goals, right? So he got.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
That guy wrote. So Howard Berger, who's Jewish, I'm assuming Howard Berger is after I read his article. He was writing an article in response to a guy who was, you know, everyone's going, oh, my God, Hyman, 50 goals. God, that's cool. You know, to score 50 goals in the NHL, I don't care who you are. You know, it's huge, right?
Yeah.
Especially this guy, right? And he scores the 50. And I guess they're saying, you know, talk about hard work payoff. It's almost emotional when you saw him on the bench.
Yeah.
He dropped his head and he might have even been tearing up. I don't know. And then dude says, what you guys are forgetting is he was filthy rich growing up.
Right.
And everyone sort of stopped and went, what does that mean?
Right.
And everyone took it as an anti-Semitic that he was a rich Jew.
Right.
Right. Is effectively what this guy was saying.
You know? Yeah.
And I tend to agree. I tend to agree, you know.
Yeah, I don't know the guy to know one way. I know he chimes in on social media about Israel and Palestine,
right?
And so that gives you pause for thought. But I don't know what his intent was, if there was anything beyond. But I do know this. You know, this guy must be just a total riot at parties. Like, you know, you had any number of days before this happened where you could have said about Zach Hyman, he's got great line mates and he's from a well-to-do family. But you chose. Like the day after that, he had this monumental achievement. It's not like Austin Matthews has never had, you know, has had all these guys scoring 50 goals on his line. It doesn't happen. McDavid and Draisaitl, great hockey players, but they've had thirds before who've never come close to 50. This guy has a real accomplishment. It's like going to the Oscars and picking a guy, part of guy's performance after you hand him the Oscar award for best actor. You know, it's just a time and place. And I thought that was way offside.
Well, the other story to this thing apparently was, let's look at what you said there. What does that mean? Like who cares if he's rich or not?
They're all right? Rich. Everybody in the NHL.
No, but to his point. Okay. So when he was younger, he's rich, right? It's like, okay, first of all, who cares? But what are you saying by that? And then I think what he was intimating was that this guy's parents they bought the league, or they made a bunch of donations to a league because Zach wasn't good enough, and yet they had to put him on the team and shit like this, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's saying, like, he kind of bought his way through his minor league hockey days.
Right.
And I'm saying, okay, So do you think that's why he's in the NHL? Like, do you think that's why he's surviving in the NHL? Because of whatever, you know? Even if it was true, it's heinous. But
right.
Anyway.
Well, I mean, there's, you know, you see it. You do see it. You know, you see CCHL teams here in town, right? Where the owner of the team is got a son on the team. And I mean, I you know, put two and two together. I'm not going to make any accusations or anything like that. But there's some maneuvering going on. But to get to the best league in the world and to get 50 goals, it's one thing to get the opportunity. It's another to cash in on it. And most guys just don't have the game to do anything close to what Zach Hyman did. It should have been nothing but celebration that day. Because I think back to having covered the Senators since the beginning of time, there was a guy, this has got to be 20 years, 15 years ago now. Nelson Peltz at one point, he is the guy who runs Snapple, the drink Snapple.
Oh, sure.
So Nelson Peltz. Snapple, yeah. He was considering investing in the Ottawa Senators, I think going in with Eugene Melnyk, doing something.
I remember that.
Yeah. And so his son, he played at, I believe he played, I don't know, high school hockey somewhere, and just completely out of the blue. Like, there's not even any stats. If you go to hockeydb.com, Brad Peltz has no stats for the 2008-09 season, which would have been his NHL draft year. He had no stats because he was, I don't know, was mono or injured or something like that. And he's in high school at this stage. And yet the Ottawa Senators drafted this guy in the 7th round with their last pick. Like, you can see it go on. It goes on all the time. Granted. Right. But, you know, it's one thing to get the opportunity. It's another to cash in on it. And Zach Hyman did in a large way. But let us take our leave.
No. Hey.
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah, you need to do a public service announcement, Steve, about the solar eclipse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's the story here, Steve? I've got a couple things to say before we leave.
Well, we've got a
solar eclipse.
Okay. We've got our solar eclipse coming. And it's, I guess we're not going to see another one in our lifetime or maybe in our grandkids' lifetime. It's something like 2100 and something until the next solar eclipse occurs. But yeah, you're seeing, for example, municipal governments coming out and giving out advisories on staying safe during the upcoming solar eclipse. Be aware of the risks associated with looking directly at the sun. It's on Monday, April the 8th, the moon's orbit will position it directly between the Earth and the sun. And that'll happen around 3:25 for 2 to 3 minutes. It'll be about 99%. And so a lot of discussion about approved eye protection and damage to the eyes and things like that. That's the story.
Couple things, Stevie. Okay.
Sure.
Okay. I think these people are beginning to bullshit us that this is the first time. Stevie, every single year, when you think back, every single year, you'll hear this. There's an eclipse. Pluto is going to block the moon and deflect off the sun. There's an eclipse. Right, every year, Steve, there's some sort of eclipse, and yet when they announce it, they go, "This isn't going to happen again for 6 billion years." Well, no, the 2 years ago you said that about an eclipse. If I've heard of eclipses, Steve, okay, I've heard 30 times in my life that there's eclipses. Okay, so stop with that bullshit. Okay, the other one, Stevie, is this massive warning. Okay, that. Apparently, people are going to flood to Niagara Falls to look at this thing or something.
Well, it's a state of emergency in the Niagara region.
Yeah. Okay. So don't look at the sun there when it's eclipsing. Okay. So how about this one, Steve? All you young kids, okay, just don't worry about going outside. I want you to stare at the sun with no eclipse.
Right.
Okay. I want you to look dead into that sun. Don't worry about it. It'll it's not going to harm you. You know, I want you to go do that today, kids. Okay. Go just look up at that sun and don't take your eyes off it. You're going to go fucking blind if you do that, Steve.
Well, of course. And you'll only be able to.
Where's the warning from the everyday sun? Where are they going? The way they're talking now is you can, you know, don't use sunglasses. Don't use anything. Okay.
Well, that's the thing. In a normal sun, just by looking at the sun, you can only do it for 2 seconds, and then you realize, I'm doing damage.
Right.
Whereas with
the warning?
With the eclipse, though, when you look at it, when it's, say, about the 80% mark, you can look at it for an extended period of time, but that 20% is doing the same amount of damage to your retina as the normal sun. Although it just doesn't hurt as much. So
if you spent 5 minutes a day looking at the sun, Steve, mm-hmm. you're going to burn your retinas.
True.
Okay. Normal
sun. There's our public service announcement for you, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not the first eclipse in 2,200 years. Yeah. Every year there's an eclipse.
Our PSA is that we're mocking the PSAs, is what we're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, man.
This message brought to you by the SWP, and our website is stevewproject.com. You can email us anytime at stevewproject@outlook.com. We love to hear from you. Love your feedback. Give it to us. We're very needy. We need attention. Why else would we do a podcast? Really?
Can I tell you my joke, Steve? I told you my joke off air.
Yeah.
The last time. Can I do it again? My joke.
If it was off the air, are you sure you want to?
Yeah.
You've already given me a couple of edit points that I'm not real happy about.
No. Here it is. Here it is. Okay. All right. Ready? I wrote a song, Steve, for the Jehovah Witness people.
Oh no! You told this on the air last time.
Oh, I did.
You did.
So I wondered whether I did.
Yeah. The knocking. Yeah.
Do you want to hear it?
Still stands the test of time. This is where I was.
Fuck, I love that joke.
The Minnesota North Stars love that joke. Ruined the end of the show? I knew it.
Again, I had one.
All right. Thank you for being with us this week. We're back next Monday, and we shall talk to you next time. And don't look into that sun, for God's sake.
Good night, everybody. You cut out there, Stevie. I don't know if you got it.
Oh, there's a cutout? Okay.
Yeah, well, it just went squelchy.
I just did my normal outro and also threw in Don't Look Into the Sun.
Okay, how about these guys, Steve, that got 50 goals?
The non-ending show.
Yari Curry, right? Yari Curry got 70 one year. Leon. Timo Solani got 76 in his rookie year.
Crazy.
How's that?
McGillney had a 70 goal. Bernie Nichols had a 70 goal.
Jerome McGinley. Joe Sakic, Pavel Bure, of course, Alexander McGillney, Bernie Nichols, yeah, Charlie Simmer. We're old enough to remember that guy. Jonathan Chichu got 50 goals.
That would be one of the most unheralded 50-goal scorers of all time. And most unexpected. He didn't come anywhere close ever.
Right.
It was Jacques Richard, I think, had a 50-goal season. We had one of the Pronovos, I think, had 50.
Who's Jacques Richard?
Jacques Richard was a member of the Quebec Nordiques back in the early 80s, and out of the blue had a 50-goal season. Some beauties. Did you know that Al Secord had a 50-goal season?
No way. Did he with Chicago?
The old Chicago tough guy, yeah.
1983, 1984, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
50 goal scorers. 3 with the Oilers. 3. Glenn Anderson, Yari Curry, and Wayne. And if you looked at, I'd be curious to see how Mark Messier did and Paul Coffey.
Yeah, I think the record is 3, and that was that year.
They did it the next year. Anderson, Yari, and Wayne did it in the 85-86 season.
So they tied themselves. But I think I remember that mark that only one team has ever had 50 goal seasons in the same season, and it was those three guys twice.
Three guys, yeah. How am I reading this?
This is the bonus part of the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Johnny Busick, Phil Esposito with Boss, Ken Hodge, Phil, Jean Pronovo.
There's Pronovo, told you.
Pierre LaRouche. These years are 75, 76. Why did the Oilers?
I want to say LaRouche did it with Pittsburgh and Montreal, two different teams.
So these are all the two guys who scored 50 on the same team.
Right.
Which is Boston. Billy
Barber. It's not about scoring them on the same team. It's about scoring them on the same team in the same year.
That's right. And these are those who had two guys who scored 50 in the same year on the same team.
I say the most unheralded 4-time 50-goal scorer is Tim Kerr. I don't think the average NHL fan has any idea who Tim Kerr is.
Wow. I know that guy. I think I've met him before. He might be dead now. I don't know.
He's not.
Anyway, interesting.
Okay. Well, we'll call it quits there, ladies and gentlemen. We hope you enjoyed the
bonus.
Yeah, we're on air.
Oh, all right. Okay, yeah. There you go. Bonus.
Well, you haven't said the thing yet, you know, the thing you say at the end all the time.
Well, you know what, Stevie?
And we're not going to do it now.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Stevie. Charlie Simmer and Marcel Dion in 1979, they both scored 50.
There you go.
What people forget, Steve.
Oh, here we go.
Is he was poised to get 50, Marcel Dion, with the LA Kings because of the time he spent with the Minnesota North Stars. I'll leave you with that, Steve. Okay? I will leave you with that.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Good night.
We'll see you.
Creepy.